And Father, we'll exalt your goodness. And Father, you're so great, so wonderful. Lord Jesus, you are high and lifted up. All men are drawn to the Father tonight. Lord, we love you. We just turn our focus and our attention upon you, Lord. And our thoughts and our actions and our words. Father, we love you. We praise you. Father, we thank you that you've loved us with such an unconditional love. Father, we thank you that you gave us this word. We thank you for the instructions. Father, we thank you that we know what to believe. We know what to do. We know how to speak. We know how to think. We know how to cast down the wrong thoughts, how to hold on to the right thoughts. We know how to be led by the Holy Ghost. We know how to confess our faith. We know how to speak the word. We know how to make a decree. We know how to live victoriously. We know how. We know how. For your ability is upon us and your ability is within us. And Father, you have made us victorious. And Father, we're overcomers in this world because, Lord Jesus, you've deprived this world of any power to harm us. We thank you, Lord. We always go over. We never go under. We always go over. We never go under. Father, we bless you and praise you tonight. Oh, Lord, we magnify you. Just praise him. Father, we glorify you. Oh, we magnify your name. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, we bless you tonight. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we praise you. Just praise him. Just sing to him. Just glorify the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, we magnify. Just bless your holy name. Go ahead, sing in the Spirit. Sing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Father, we thank you for the power that's in this room. Father, we thank you. Oh, we magnify you, Lord God. Oh, we magnify. Oh, we magnify. Oh, we magnify. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. Oh, we glorify. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're working in our behalf. You're always working. You have never ceased to be working. You never leave us, never forsake us. Father, we're the blessed of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principality, power, and might in this world and that which is to come. Father, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We glorify you. We worship you, Lord God. We praise your holy name. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name. We magnify. We magnify. There are some that are here this evening that are being called into a greater measure of ministry, a greater measure of the ministry of helps. And the Lord will lay upon your heart that which he would have you to do. And don't despise the day of small beginnings, for the task might seem small, but it's big in the plan of God, getting you started, getting you in a role that he can bless you, that he can promote you. Oh, ye that are faithful in that which is least, he will promote to that which is much. So at this day and in this hour tonight, you will be spoken to by the Holy Spirit about a certain place to serve in the ministry of helps in this church, and you'll stand and you will obey, and God will richly bless you. And you'll look back at your life years from now, whether it's 1 year or 2 years, you'll look back and you say, that was a day that I started in my ministry towards the Lord. Oh, praise God. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. There's things that are working on your behalf, even this night, things that are working in places that you can't see. Unforeseen blessing, unforeseen promotion. There's things that are working to provide provision, that unexpected monies, unexpected funds will come into your life. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. So don't lose heart. Don't cast away your confidence, but stay in faith. Say always that the blessing of the Lord maketh me rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow, no guilt, no shame. Yes, yes, yes. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow, no guilt, no shame. And people around you may criticize, and they may wonder why they didn't get blessed or why they're going without. Don't you disregard your blessing because of what's going on in other people's lives. Just receive with thanksgiving. Be faithful, be honorable with the finances. Obey God with them. Listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. Do what he says to do. Father, we thank you tonight that you're working in places that we can't see. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. So we speak those things out tonight, Father, in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And Father, we say, it shall come to pass. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It will come to pass. It shall all come to pass. It'll all come to pass. It'll happen. Father, we thank you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. We just give you all the praise tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just wait upon the Lord. If there's anything else we're to do right now, we'll do it. If we're given direction to go into teaching and preaching, we'll do that. Father, we just worship you. We praise you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Father, thank you for the glory that is in this place tonight. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. Lord, that above all else, that your name is glorified and exalted, that no man would ever take upon himself or herself your praise and glory. Father, for you are worthy, and we give you all the praise. We love you tonight, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, I just can't quite end this prayer yet. Let's just stay in an attitude of praise and worship. Father, we love you, and we bless you, and we bless you, and we praise you, and we worship you, and we glorify you. You are so good, Lord. We love you. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Lord, you're so good, so holy. And we just take this time to reverence and honor you. Father, we're not following a script of a service. We're not in a hurry to get somewhere. Father, we just worship you and praise you tonight. So good to be here, Father. Father, there were those that were supposed to be here. And Father, I understand that you had something for them. But Father, we're here to receive tonight. We're here to move with you. Father, we thank you. We're here to give heed and we're here to yield to you, Father. So Father, we just yield tonight. We yield to whatever your instructions would be. That right now, that instructions are coming to your heart. Instructions are coming to the heart of the people that are in attendance tonight. As we sit and wait upon the Lord in his presence, instruction is coming to you. Instructions are coming to you regarding jobs, regarding personal relationships. Instructions are coming to you now. Regarding something to do that might seem unconventional in your mind, the Holy Ghost is speaking right now. He may speak to you in terms of a gift to give to somebody personally, to witness to somebody. You're getting instructions right now. Instructions are coming to you. Don't let your thoughts distract or derail what God's speaking in your heart. Many of you getting instruction right now, right now, right now. Right now, the Lord is revealing certain faults in your marriage. He's revealing right now to your heart things that you could and should have done differently, and he's not mad at you. But right now is an opportunity to get that right. Say, yes, Lord, I receive my correction. Yes, Lord, forgive me. Yes, 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 Lord, I'll humble myself to my spouse. I'll humble myself and I'll apologize. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you. That's what's going on in the hearts of some that are here tonight right now. The Lord's just revealing something to your heart. Father, we thank you that in the midst of your glory, Father, you reveal certain cracks, so to speak, just certain things that just come to light, certain places where we've left a door open. And Father, you're so good to do that, that we can close the door, that we can just get right and get our hearts moving towards you, Father. You're so good because your blessing needs an unhindered conduit, a channel to move through. And Father, we want to be vessels fit for the Master's use. So Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father, thank you. Deal with the hearts. Deal with the hearts. Patience. The Lord is talking to some in here tonight about patience. And we ministered some on Sunday regarding temper. And the Lord is ministering to you now in terms of your patience. In terms of your patience. That you've been easily provoked, quick to anger. Lord's dealing in your heart right now. And you know that's you. Just get it right. Just right now, under your breath. Lord, thank you. I receive that correction, Lord. I've been short. I've been short-tempered. I've been quick to anger and easily provoked. And Lord, I understand that that's not the love of God. And I understand that could hurt me and hurt my family, and it could hurt the plan of God in my life. So Lord, I deal with that. I deal with it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There are those, there's somebody in here tonight that you've been slacking on your tithe and you know it. And there's a financial pressure that's come against you, and you robbed from God to pay a bill or a creditor or something, to pay a need that arose in your life, and you took from the tithe and you gave God less than the tithe. And the Spirit of God is showing me that you had planned to pay it back. Know this, that you can't rob from the tithe. You can't borrow from the tithe. The tithe is always first. The tithe is always first. So right now, if that's you, get right before God. Just get right. Say, Lord, just go ahead. Tell him right now. I mean, just under your breath as you stand here and deal with your own heart before God. Lord, that's me. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to rob from the God that I'm asking to bless me. So, Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And you've taken from the tithe. Your heart desires God, and your heart desires more of God. And you succumb to the pressure of a need, and you didn't pay your tithe. Well, get that right before God. Nobody knows that naturally. Just the Holy Ghost is speaking to you tonight. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you tonight, Father God. We give you the praise. You are so good, Lord. So good to us. Instructions are coming even as we wait. Instructions are coming to your heart. Instructions are coming about your busy schedule. How busy you are. You're running here, running there. God's dealing with your heart right now about that. You go too much. You go to work, you come home, you go, go, go until bed. Better spend time with your family. Better spend time with the family. Better spend quiet time with the family. God's dealing with somebody's heart in here. Go, go, go all the time. Run, run, run. Don't miss out. You got to be more quiet. You got to be still. Father, we love you. We praise you tonight. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Father, I'll do whatever you say tonight. I don't have to preach a message. Lord, I lay it down. There's no pride here. If I don't speak tonight in terms of a message or a sermon, then Lord, so be. I just want to follow you. Lord, I just want to do what you have planned. Father, the Holy Ghost runs our services. We are not scripted. Father, we're not planned. We haven't scheduled the Holy Ghost out of our meetings. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Just give him praise. Just praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. So Lord, we thank you for the word now. As we're released to teach and preach the word of God, Father, we thank you for utterance in the Spirit. And Father, may everything said and done tonight glorify you. Lord Jesus, that you're just magnified tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, it's just good to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? Well, now I understand why the instruction came about that song. You know, so many times with the leading of the Holy Ghost, you know, he'll always have you do something first. And a lot of times behind the instruction is where the goodies are at. You know, you gotta take the first step. You gotta obey the first thing. There's gonna be things tonight that were spoken to your heart directly by the Spirit of God, instructions, regardless what they were. I mean, we went to, you know, the Holy Ghost was just saying a lot of things. Actually, I don't even remember, even just a few minutes ago, all the different avenues that were touched on. But whatever was spoken to your heart here tonight, listen and obey that, because there's something else behind it. Yes. Even the Holy Ghost, he works like that. In a church service, he'll give a minister an instruction. You know, I got the instruction regarding a song. And in my natural mind, you think, well, we didn't plan that, and the worship team didn't rehearse that, and you know, and you get that leading on the inside, but you want to obey that.
Oh, yes.
Even if it seemed awkward for a second to get the worship team back in place to sing a song, well, had we not obeyed in that, we may have missed some things, you know. So many times when you have a prompting by the Spirit of God to say something to somebody, to give something to somebody, maybe to do whatever, it's not just that one scenario that's going to be worked out. There's something, there's more behind it. There's other things, there's other instructions.
Yes.
You know, there's people here tonight that you are dealt with about the ministry of helps and where you can help and be a part of the ministry of helps here at the church. Well, if that's you, you want to obey that, even if you get put in a situation where it's not the most glamorous thing in the world. Maybe God will put it on your heart to help in the cleaning ministry, vacuum some floors or wash some windows or be in the nursery or whatever it is. And maybe it's not a glamorous thing, but how many of you know that God has to, you know, we have to build our trust with the Heavenly Father. You know, he doesn't put you in the big glorious job or whatever first. How many of you know there is no insignificant job for the Lord?
Right.
I'm trying to make a point here. Understand? It's not about a glorious position or an unglorious, but you know what I mean? There's certain things that just seem more desirable than others. Well, you better be willing to do the undesirable work, even if it makes your flesh crawl. Obey. Even if it puts you out or makes, you know, things a little inconvenient for you, obey that.
That's right.
Because behind that is a whole nother level of instruction. And God can't take you to that place until you just simply submit.
That's right.
It's real easy. It's real easy. People say, Pastor Tim, what day did your ministry begin? My ministry began the day that I went to Pastor Michael and said, Pastor Michael, I want to serve in the ministry of helps. If you want me mowing the lawn, washing windows, you know, washing tables or whatever, you know, if you want me, I remember the exact words I used. I said, Pastor Michael, if you want me cutting the grass on my hands and knees with a pair of scissors, I'll do it.
That's right.
You know, and of course he laughed about that, and I'm glad I didn't get that job.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the day my ministry began.
That's right.
It wasn't the day that I took a Bible course or something like that. It was the day that I humbled myself.
That's it. That's exactly exactly right.
That is always the day your promotion started, when you humbled yourself. Hallelujah. That's the day your marriage began to be restored, when you humbled yourself. You know? Hallelujah. That's the day, whether it's a marriage or that's the day you began your promotion in the workplace, when you humbled yourself and honored your boss.
Yes.
Amen. And became faithful to him or to her, regardless of how well they treat you, that you understood that, you know, how you serve them is how you serve the Lord.
Yes.
Do all things as under the Lord.
That's right.
You know, right? Doesn't it say servants? Obey your earthly masters
yes.
as unto the Lord.
Right.
So many times people try to twist that verse and make it say that it's talking about slavery or something like that. No, it's talking about just a simple servant and the master,
yes.
right?
Oh, yes.
Jesus talked many times about a servant and a master. He wasn't necessarily talking about the American slave trade or anything like that. He was talking about humility,
that's right.
how to humble yourself to those that are your employer.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, because there's such an attack on honor these days.
Yes.
I mean, it is all over the place. We are in a world, we are in an American society that is just chock full of dishonor. Just dishonor. You know, I'll tell you, there's dishonor for people in leadership positions, but there's also dishonor for those that are older than you, you know, than we are or whatever. I'll tell you what, we are always supposed to be looking for people in the generation before us to honor them, to bless them,
yes.
to take care of them.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Even if they are somebody that you know, might be, you know, serving you in some regard. But, you know, or they might, you know, be distant, or they might not necessarily be your parents, or whoever God calls you to serve and to honor that generation that's over you.
Yeah.
Just by the sheer fact that they've been in this world longer than you have, they demand a certain level of respect.
That's
even
right.
if they aren't Christians, even if they aren't God's people, but they're still older than you,
yes.
what a great way to witness to them
yes.
by being honorable and submissive.
That's right.
You know, we're living in a day where, I mean, that is just all but gone in our American society. We're living in a time where the younger generations, they think that they are superior to the old generations. When I use the word old, that's relative. But the older generations, listen. We are never supposed to have an attitude of superiority against the generations that are older than us. Even if they're unsaved, even if they know less than you do, there's still a certain respect that's commanded because they're older and been on this earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And there's just something about a person. They will never be promoted until they learn how to speak to people correctly and honorable, to the people that are older than them and have gone before them. You know? Even if, you know, there might be some younger people here tonight. You might have parents that aren't serving God and that aren't following God even as much as you are. That still does not give you a license to be dishonorable and to disobey them.
That's right.
The only time you would not follow a parent's instruction is if they directly ordered you to disobey God. You know, if they want you to clean up, if they want you to take some responsibility around the house and do some chores, do some dishes, take out the garbage, and to participate in that stuff, you're supposed to submit to that with honor. My goodness, I mean, the terms yes, sir, and no, ma'am, have just about all but disappeared from our society. You know, I mean, and I'll tell you this, if you have younger children, now is the time to be training them. You know, now is the time to be training them. And yes, it takes a lot of training. You know, I have two little boys at home, you know, four years old and 2 years old, and that just takes time to instill that and ingrain that in them. And I would love to say that my boys just say yes, sir, or no, ma'am, every you know, every time, but they haven't learned that quite yet. But I'm training them to be honorable, to be honorable. Don't let your children not look somebody in the eye when they talk to them. I tell you what, if your child gets in that habit of turning their back and walking away when somebody that's older than them is talking to them, no, you stop them and you say, wait a minute, no, come on over here, Timothy, come over here, nope, Michael, come over here, so-and-so was talking to you, because you got to start teaching them honor.
Yes, good, that's good.
Hallelujah. Honor. You gotta start with those small things. You know, where they feel like it's just inconceivable to turn their back on an adult when they're being talked to. I was a school teacher, and I tell you what, you can just tell there's no honor in the homes. There just is none. You know, there's been no demand for that child to be a yes sir or yes ma'am, you know, child. And you think, well, my goodness, that just seems military. No. See, 50 years ago in America, that wouldn't have been so weird. But what's going on is that there is a lack of submission in these younger generations, even in the church. I'll tell you what, this younger generation is going to go on to do great and mighty things. Right. Yes, the younger generations, even the generations that are younger than me, are going to go on and do greater things for God than even we're doing. Yes. However, that does not give them a free ticket out of honor.
All right. That's right.
You know
That's
what I mean? And we're living in a day and a time when churches are going to the younger generation to get a lesson on how to run the church.
Oh, come on. Here we go.
No. No. The leaders, those people that are moving into their patriarch years, they should not be turning and going to the younger generation to find out how to run a church. The younger generations should be submitting to the older generations and say, tell me what you know about the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because no matter how much you don't like it, that older generation knows way more about the Holy Spirit than these younger generations. Yeah, these younger generations, they know how to dance and they know how to move and they know how to twirl lights and they know how to put on a dog and pony show, but they do not know the Holy Ghost.
Good word. Come on.
I am not here as a pastor trying to take a page from the playbook of a younger generation.
No.
I am not trying to turn this church into a more youthy atmosphere.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Praise God for youth. We have a lot of youth here. But you know what I mean? That they will purposely try to package their church in a youthy kind of brand. Because that's the next generation. No. You need to be looking towards that older generation. Oh, my goodness. I look to Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy and Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy Laketic. I look to those that are older that have gone before.
Yes.
I want to learn the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
I want to learn what they know because they've had more time with the Spirit of God.
Yes. Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter. You know, and they're all stylish people, too. But I'm not trying to, you know, it's not style we're trying to imitate. It's the Spirit that we want to know and we want to learn.
Yes, yes.
I want to know about honor.
Yes.
You know, we want to know about what opens that grace for God to just bestow his power.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, what are those principles that we can participate in that's going to cause the anointing to move in a greater measure?
That's right.
If you look throughout, I mean, both Testaments really, but especially the Old Testament, when we get into the books of 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st in 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings, and you see this, you know, it says that Solomon had a heart after his father David. And it always talked about the younger generations and how they looked to the older generations and the ones that didn't. Remember how many times it said in there, Jeroboam and certain other kings did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not follow after the heart of their ancestor David. And those were all the kings that failed. All the ones that rejected the older generations and tried to do it themselves, they failed and they flopped. And they fell flat on their face. I'm telling you, we are on the brink in this country of a huge movement of how everything's turning into this, you know, youth-minded church. I'll tell you what's going to be the end result of it. It's going to fall flat. It's going to fall flat. And there's going to be, you know what's getting in there? There's pride getting into the places like that. And when pride gets in, a church split is imminent. And I'm not trying to prophesy this. I'm not trying to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, but you're going to see a lot of churches around America over this next decade that are going to have church splits. They're going to fall. They're going to fall into financial crisis. They're not going to be able to pay off their buildings. They're going to fold up, move around, break up, you know, and all this stuff. Why? Because they tried to take a page from the playbook of a generation that did not know the move of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because the Spirit of God is a preserver. right? The Spirit of God preserves the growth of a church. It preserves the integrity, and it preserves the order. It is the right godly order. Man, my goodness.
Yes, this is good. Come on, come on.
It is the right order. It is out of order to have a church that neglects and tries to push out the older generations.
That's right.
We have a lot of younger people in this church.
Yeah.
And that's not, I guess that's not a surprise. Me being a younger pastor, tends to gravitate more towards some younger people. They always say, just naturally speaking, that a pastor will reach, the majority of his congregation will be 10 years younger to 10 years older. You know what I mean? So that just is one natural thing to explain why our church has so much youth. First and foremost, God's put you here. You're called to the body. You're set in the body as it pleases the Lord. But, there's also some just natural explanation there too. Hallelujah. We understand that there's a lot of youth, and we are not going to have a church that looks to drive out the older generations. And I'll tell you what, let thee be warned that if you have some kind of, if you're a younger person here and you have some kind of disrespect or some kind of grudge or something, every once in a while I run into young people, they got a chip on their shoulder and they just can't stand the older generation or whatever. I'll tell you what, you're not going to last here. And I look out at this group right here, and I don't see any people that are really like that. But I'll tell you what, that is one attitude that will not be permitted in this church, is a neglect and a disrespect for generations that are older. I'll tell you what, if you see people, it does not have to be me and my wife. It does not have to be singers on our worship team or whatever. But when you see, someone that's of the older generation, someone that's older than you, and you have a chance to get a door for them,
yeah.
Get them a drink of water,
oh, yeah.
Help them with a bag they're carrying or something, get their car, pull it up for them. I mean, just
yes.
Think, get creative
yeah.
in how you can serve that generation that's older, because those are the people that God's going to bless and promote and increase.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
There's a lot of different avenues we could have preached tonight, but I'm just following God.
That's right.
Praise God. I'm really looking forward to when I get to preach what I've prepared to preach. I say that tongue in cheek. I'm happy to follow God no matter what it is. And I think I am going to get to some of what I was planning to speak on tonight, but praise God. But let's just not be a church of dishonor. Let's not be a church. And I'll tell you what, this younger generation, they got a chip on their shoulder. And we being a younger church, we are not going to get into that mold. We're going to be different. We're going to be honorable. We're going to love the older generations. We're going to respect them. We're going to look to them as someone that has been around longer, that knows more, that deems respect and honor.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, all this goes for not just in the church. It goes in your home,
yes.
Your grandparents.
That's right.
I tell you what. I have, of course, spiritual fathers and grandfathers, but I also have natural mom and dad. And whenever I see my natural mom and dad, when I see something or I hear something they like, now that I'm a little bit older and I have more means to do this, if I hear something they like, they got to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think I've told this story before, but I remember it was, I don't know, maybe a year ago or whatever, I had acquired a rifle, a lever-action 30-30 Marlin rifle, real nice, real sweet, and, I was really enjoying it. And my dad came over to the house, and I said, "Oh, Dad, you got to check out my new rifle." And my dad is just one of the sweetest human beings. He never has any motive or agenda to take anything from his children or anything like that. I said, "Oh, Dad, look at this." And I handed it to him. He's like, "Oh, wow." And he racked that action on that gun, and he was looking at it, and he's like, "Man, I always wanted one of these, And as soon as he said that was no longer my gun.
Yeah, right.
No longer my gun. I was like, "Well, there it goes." God spoke to me, said, "You got to give that to your dad." His 65th birthday was like only 2 weeks later, so I just saved on, I was like, "Well, God, can I at least give it as a birthday present?" So I can obey you and get a birthday gift taken care of at the same time. Oh, absolutely. So, just things like that, If I'm with Pastor Michael, see, I got to be careful now because now I'm speaking from a pastoral standpoint. I would never say anything like this to you understand.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm with Pastor Michael. I have some rules. He never pays for anything.
Right.
Never. I mean, if he is, now that doesn't go for you, Jeff. Yeah. Okay. I'm better at doing this than I am receiving this. All right. How many of you know it's pride that won't receive?
Yeah.
Pride will not receive. We think it's humility to say, oh, no, don't do that for me. Oh, you didn't have to do that. I'm guilty of it all the time. People want to do nice things, for me as their pastor and stuff. Like, oh, no, don't do that. Oh, no. And every time the Holy Ghost kicks me in my spirit and says, that's pride. Pride does that. If you're a person that won't receive, you are filled with pride. And so you're thinking, Pastor Tim, are you saying you're filled with pride? In those instances, I have had pride. I'm just confessing to you right now. Because you think you're being humble by not receiving. No. You are robbing them of an opportunity to sow seed. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that the liberal or the generous soul shall be made well supplied, and he that waters others shall himself be watered.
That's right.
When someone's trying to water your life, don't you try to throw up that false humility and say, oh, no, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, good word.
Right?
That's right.
Remember that when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, and Peter said, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. And Jesus said to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me.
Yes, that's correct.
And Peter said, well, then wash my feet and my hair. Right? Isn't that exactly true? Jesus said, if you can't receive, you have no part.
That's right.
Because what was that? That was pride in Peter. No, Lord. Oh, no. No, we can't have that kind of pride.
That's right.
We got to make sure that we are, when someone wants to water your life, you let them do that.
Yes.
And I know I'm preaching to myself, but anyway, back what I was saying, when I'm with Pastor Michael, he never pays for anything. If I'm in Walmart and he's looking for socks, guess who's buying the socks?
Yeah, right.
I am. You know what I mean? Why? Because it's a principle.
Yes.
To stand there and watch somebody over me. Now, he's over me in a couple of ways. He's my spiritual father, but he's also somebody of a generation that knows more about the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there, and the Bible says when it's in thy hand to do good,
Yes. Do
it. And I'm in a situation where someone over me that I'm always looking to bestow honor upon them, if they get into a situation, if I'm in an opportunity where I have the ability to just buy something simple like that, and if I don't do it, what I did is I withheld that power to do good.
Yeah.
But, you do something like that, I mean, just trying to save the $13 that those socks cost is going to cost you way more in the long run by failing to take the opportunity like that. This is not just for pastors. This is people in your life. This is for your parents, for your grandparents. Don't go to a birthday party for your grandfather without a card with some money in it.
Come on, here we go.
You know what I mean? Do I want to say that? Because that's going to be interesting to Don't go and give the patriarch of your family, even if they don't know God. Maybe you have a grandfather that doesn't know God, or whatever. They still demand respect.
Yes, amen.
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 People say, I got them a card, and I told them, I love you, and things like that. No, the Bible says that God demonstrates his love, that while we were yet sinners, he gave Christ for us.
That's right.
Don't go and give your grandfather a card without putting money in it.
Good word. Hey,
you know what I mean?
This is getting it. Come on.
Wow. Same for your parents. Don't give them I got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because people are going to miss it. People say, it's the kind words that count. Yes, they count. They count. But they'd rather be counting something else.
That's right.
It's honor. Yeah, it's honor.
Yes.
Do you know that the word honor in the Bible, it means to pay finances?
Yes, that's correct.
Right? Yes. Doesn't it?
Yes.
If you look it up, you can look it up in the same Greek concordance that I have. You know, it'll say honor. It means tribute paid, meaning or wages paid.
That's right.
When we say we honor somebody, there is going to be some finances involved with it. If you're going to honor your dad or your mom, there's going to be some finances in it. Obviously, that's not the only way to honor them. But if you honor them every other way, but you don't honor them, you ready for the word?
Yes.
Let's just go there. Off the beaten path. Go to 1 Timothy. Totally not planning on preaching on this. But it's kind of some more family stuff here tonight, so go to the word here, 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. Philippians just came completely disattached from my Bible. It's a good book. I always said if I was stranded on a desert island, I could only have one book of the Bible, that would be a good one. I'd probably take Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy. There's a scripture over here. Oh, maybe it's 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. Go over there. I could be wrong both places. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost has talked to me about a scripture? So I'll just find it on my little doodad here. Praise the Lord. Everyone praise God and act like you're interested while Pastor awkwardly looks for a scripture. So the awkwardness is going away. It is 1 Timothy 5. I knew it. In verse 4, it says this. It says, but if any widow have children, all right, or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. All right? That word piety, you probably have a little asterisk or something next to it, and you go over to your marginal rendering, it means kindness. Or you could say it this way, honor. Honor. Okay? So he says, let them first learn to first show honor or kindness or piety at home. Notice where you must be first be honorable. In your home. If you are not honorable in your home, you are not honorable anywhere. I don't care how much you put on a show at church. How you are at home is how you are. People say, well, I know I'm that way at home, but I'm not that way at church. Oh, no, you might as well be that way at church. Because how you are at church really doesn't matter in terms of how nice and, you know, the show that you're putting on or whatever. Come on, but look at this. Now it says, let children and nephews, you could say it this way, the younger generation. Let the younger generations show kindness and honor and piety in the home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Requite. Now that is a King James Bible way of saying repay. Literally, in the Greek, that word requite means to repay them or to pay back your parents. Or to literally give them honor payments.
Yes. Good.
Honor payments. Now, see, we're all getting convicted now. Yes. You know, and I preached on this a long time ago, maybe a year, you know, a while ago. But this is what the Holy Ghost is having us go to. Now, notice that. See, we live in a society where it's parents do everything for your kids, keep the kids happy. Now, of course, when your children are younger, there is a lot of care and a lot of work and things like that. But we're talking as those children grow older, and if you're a child, which all of us at one time, how many of you were born of parents in here? All right, okay, good. We got a few of you. The others, I don't know, were you hatched or maybe you came out of the snoodle tower or wherever you came from. But we live in a society that says, you know, oh, make sure, you know, give it to the kids. You know, whatever keeps the kids happy, just give it to the kids. And I see parents, they'll carry that mentality clear into when their children are adults. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know people, I'm related to people that have absolutely ruined the lives of their children by how much they gave to them when they became adults. Because there's two phases in a child's life. When they're younger, yes, they are at the receiving hand of good giving parents. Praise God. I'll tell you, I give to my children. I give to them. If Timothy says, Daddy, can I have a dollar? I say, sure you can. I've heard that. No, you can't have a dollar. You're just telling your children that you're just a big cheapskate. And, you know, yeah, sure. Yeah. Daddy, you know, is it any, he'll see a toy or something he likes. Daddy, you know, is that something I could have? I say, Timothy, you know, absolutely. Just believe God for it. I said, yeah, Dad, I'm believing God for it. And as soon as I know that my son's believing God for something and he stays on it, guess what me and my wife do? We make sure he gets it.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure he gets
good.
It.
Good.
You know, yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But there's phase two in a child's life that when they get older, guess what? The roles reverse. And instead of the parents being the ones giving out, guess who the ones that are giving out? The children.
That's right.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you what, if your parents are still on this earth, you have an opportunity to do this word.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. He says, for those in verse 4, let them first learn to show piety, kindness, or honor at home, to repay or to give payments of honor to their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God.
Yes.
How many times do we, send an honor check to our parents? We need to be doing that. Hallelujah. I don't care if your parents are heathens or not. I don't care if they're Billy Graham Jr. or bona fide heathens. They still need your honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go with me. Go back to the book of Mark. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go over there to Mark chapter 7. Go to Mark 7:11. The verse, not the mini mart. Mark chapter 7. Now, we might back up here. Go to verse. Jesus is, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is in a debate with the Pharisees. Isn't he always? Right? And they're talking about what money is given to the temple. We could say it this way, the money that's given to the church and so on. And then why don't we start there in verse 9. And Jesus said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Oh boy. Now look what tradition Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, listen, you keep your tradition instead of keeping the word of God. In verse 10, Jesus says, for Moses said, or you could say it this way, for the word of God said, honor thy father and thy mother. Right? And we know Paul said over there in Ephesians chapter 6, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that you may live long upon the earth. Do you know there's people that have died young because of the way they treat their parents? Even good Christians, but they didn't respect their parents because their parents weren't as holy as they are.
Come on
now.
That's right.
All this is talking about the attitude towards older generations.
Yeah.
Now look what it says here. See, we always see that. That's one of the Ten Commandments, right? You know, honor thy father and thy mother. And we see that and we just think of how our attitudes are. But that word honor, it means to repay them.
Yes.
It means to pay them money. I'm going to show you in just a second. And you hear this and you say, no, that Pastor Tim down there, he's spreading heresies and false doctrine. No, he's not. Watch. This is how we know Jesus is. Is someone agreeing? We got a couple of ushers here that.
Come on.
Full well, you reject the commandment of God. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. Aren't you glad we're under the testament of grace? Aren't you glad you don't have to be stoned because maybe you slipped and said something, you know, disrespectful. You cursed my mother or father or something. Oh, my goodness. But now look at this, verse 11. But Jesus says, but you Pharisees say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. English, please. Are you ready for that in English?
Yes.
Jesus says, he says, you Pharisees have a tradition of saying to parents, it's Corban. The word Corban means it's a gift for the ministry. This is what they were doing. Jesus is reading their mail. Now, the word Corban, it means money or funds given to the temple. And Jesus even translates it right there in verse 11. It is Corban, that is to say a gift, or a gift to the ministry or to the treasury of the Lord. All right? This is what they were doing. What they were doing is they were going to their father and mother and say, I can't give you this money. I got to give it to the church. That's what they were doing. They said, my money's, sorry, mom and dad, I don't have any money to give to you. The Pharisees told me that I could skip honoring you with my finances as long as I gave that payment that I should have gone to your parents. As long as I gave it to the church, it'll be okay. That's what that verse is talking about there. So now we know. Jesus quotes Moses. He says, honor thy father and mother. The word honor means pay tribute, pay wages, send them honor payments. Come on now. Send them honor payments. And you can't even make the excuse, say, well, I can't honor my father and mother. I got to give it to the church. And Jesus said that is what Jesus called rejecting the word of God.
That's right.
Woo-wee. Boom, smack, bang, crash. Conviction City. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it's just a gift to the church. And whatever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. Notice what he's talking about here. Profiting. Meaning that the parents should profit from their kids. That word profit there, he's talking about financially. I mean, you can study that word Corban in the same Vines dictionary, the Strong's Concordance. You can look it up for yourself. It means money that really belonged. See, this is just an amazing, amazing truth. That yes, are we supposed to tithe to our local church? Yes. Are we supposed to give offerings to our local church above and beyond the tithe? That's why some of you aren't making it in your tithe, because there's no offering on top of it. Do you know there's... No, anyway. We'll go down that at a different time. It's just not the flow right now.
Right.
It's just not the flow. If I'm not scared of preaching on it, it's just not the flow right now. But, you know, we're supposed to tithe through our local church. We're supposed to give offerings. But we're also supposed to, by the word of God, as important as the money is that we give in our church, we're supposed to be honoring and repaying our earthly parents. That's what that commandment means. Oh, go over with me to Ephesians. Let's just go over there. Hallelujah. For those of you who are watching by live stream, we welcome you here tonight. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. We're just kind of all over the place tonight, aren't we? Hallelujah. Look what it says in Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents. Now, of course, you do know that when you're older and, you know, you always want to honor your parents. However, if they have ideas that are obviously not biblical, well, then that would be different, right? And once you get out of, you know, from underneath their roof, you would continue to honor them even though they might have ideas about your life. How many of you know, parents, when your children are married, get out? That's why the Bible says, leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. Some of you boys in here are still sticking on mama's skirt, you know, when you should be home with your wife. I tell you what, I say it all the time. Guys, when you get married, you are not marrying your mommies around here. You're not marrying your mothers. I give that speech to every young guy that comes and sits in my office and wants to talk about marriage. You're not marrying your mother. Your new wife won't necessarily cook as good as mom because she hasn't been around as long as mom has. Mom's learned how to cook. Mom's, you know, taking care of your laundry. She cut the crust off your PB&J, you know. I mean, all this stuff that mommy did. She gave you, you know, hot chocolate when you walked into the door when you got home from your ski trip or whatever. All this stuff. Mommy was your pamper. You did not marry mommy. And I tell you, the Bible says that when two people get married, that they leave father and mother and cleave to each other. And you have to understand, mothers, that you don't have this position in your boy's life like you did before he got married. He traded you in for a newer model. Don't be offended. That's the way of things. And if you have a son, you know, I tell you, I have two of them, and there's going to come a day when they're going to leave and cleave. I'm not raising my boys to be mine forever, so to speak. I'm raising them to be godly husbands. I'm raising them to let them go. You know, until then, they're mine, right? Children, obey your parents, but we need to understand this. You know, because now we're going on both sides here. We do understand that, you know, and I see that all the time. Mothers trying to have influence, they get in there, they start kind of, you know, your wife shouldn't do this. She shouldn't be this way. Oh, no, I tell you what. Moms, if that's the case, you are putting your finger in a power socket. You're messing with the power, right? You're messing with the power. Because now once he's married to that gal, no matter how young and sassy and snotty she is or how snotty you think she is, because all moms just have a tendency at first to think their boys' wives are snotty at first. My mom thought you were snotty. She actually did. My mom has always been, you know, they have a wonderful relationship. But, you know, and even I had to give my mom that speech. When Katie, and she wasn't even really butting in so much or anything, but I gave my mom that speech. I said, just so you know, I'm in covenant with Katie now. Yeah. I'm in covenant with her. And if you speak against her, I will be done with you. And my parents know that to this day, and they never have tried. My parents love my wife and things like that. But they do know if they speak against my wife, I'll be done. I mean, I will always love them, you know. But I'll tell you what, I'm in covenant with my wife.
That's right.
It's not good that man should be alone.
That's right.
That's where the power is. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Right.
The reason why people are destroying their favor with God is because they cleave to mommy when they should have been cleaving to their wife. And it can go the same for ladies. You know, ladies will, you know, they have this relationship with their mother that, like, their mother's their best friend, and they say things to their mother that they can't tell their husbands. I'll tell you what, I don't have a daughter, but if I ever did, or you know, if, you know, whether that happens or not, I'm feeling like my joy is full.
Yeah,
I sense my joy seems full right now. But if there's something I didn't know, and I ended up having a daughter someday, and if I saw my daughter talking to me or to my wife, you know, kind of saying, you know, I don't like how he does this and he does that, and, you know, I'm not going to provide a gossip session for my daughter.
That's right.
Because how she's talking about her husband is how she's talking about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you have a daughter that is using you as her garbage dump, so to speak, about taking out the trash, her husband's trash, you know what I mean? Or having her husband for lunch, so to speak.
Yeah.
Come on now. And I tell you what, if you have that going on in your marriage, and you know what's going on in your marriage, ladies, your mother is not your closest friend. Your husband is your closest friend.
Yes.
You are to cleave to him, and you're going to have to let mommy go.
Yes, that's right.
That doesn't mean you can't have an awesome friendship with your mother. I have an awesome friendship with my parents, but it nowhere near compares to the relationship I have with my
That's
wife.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, there's no way I would ever use my parents or try to go to my parents and say, oh, you know, give me a little sympathy here. My wife, she's just being cruel. Now, my wife isn't cruel. My wife is awesome. Aren't you glad I put those disclaimers in, you know, every time? Because you know what? There are people that will say, like a pastor will be giving an illustration and they'll think, oh, I wonder if he's talking from experience at home. No, I have a dynamic, awesome, godly, loving wife who is not only an ordained minister of God, but a dynamic mother, wife, homekeeper. I mean, I tell you what, I've never seen I just don't believe there's another woman on this planet that is as dynamic as my wife is. You should be crying right now, lovey. So just know that when we she's more sentimental than she pretends she isn't. Praise God. So anyway, you can't have mommy and daddy be the gossip dump, you know. And I tell you what, if you're allowing your child to do that, you are being a serious problem. You are contemptible. Yeah. You are a great hindrance in their life. I tell you what, a real godly parent would say, no, I'm sorry. You know, that's just not right. I'm not comfortable with you talking about your spouse like that to me because I'm enabling you to lose out on the grace and the ability of God. All right. Hallelujah.
That's right. Good word.
So now that goes that way, but also we have to remember that's leave and cleave. Leave and cleave.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read the verse. 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice it says obey them.
Yes.
That means listen to their instructions, of course, in the Lord, as long as it doesn't directly ask you to violate the word of God. All right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother. Clearly, honor and obedience are two different things.
Yes.
He just said obey. If obey covered all there was in honor, he wouldn't have to say that in verse 2.
Right.
He said, so now two instructions to all children, obey and to honor. Okay? Honor thy father and mother. Guess what the word honor there means in the Greek? To pay tribute.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Give money to your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. How do you live long on this earth? Give to your parents.
Yes.
That's right.
Give to them. Give money.
Yes. Amen.
You know, every so often I just show up to my parents' house and drop them some cash. My wife and I will send cards with money in it out of nowhere. It doesn't have to be for a birthday.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be for an anniversary, you know, or something like that. It's just out of the blue.
Yes.
Here it goes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
The first commandment with promise that what? That it will be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Do you see, what is all this about? This is about how the younger generation approaches the older generations.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. That's right.
If you say, well, Pastor Tim, you know, my parents are gone, and you know, my grandparents are gone. I have very, you know, few, you know, of the older generation in my life anymore. Well, we'll find somebody. Find somebody of that generation and give to them.
Yeah.
Give to them. Say, well, Pastor Tim, they're going to think it's funny. Well, who cares whether they think it's funny? Believe me, when they get home and open your card and there's a 50 in it, they're going to get over it.
Yeah.
they're going to be just fine with it. What does all this boil down to? How do you look at the generations that came before you?
Yes.
Are you a person of honor? Just such a simple word here tonight. Nah, I mean, I guess I'm prepared for next Wednesday. Maybe I won't ever preach that message. I don't know. I just sit and meditate in the Word, and what God chooses to draw out is just chooses to draw out. Amen. Been a big switch in the ministry around here lately. You no doubt you've noticed that just in terms of how God is using me as a pastor to speak more with inspiration than just, you know, preaching from the notes or what have you. Amen. Did you get some help here tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Father, we praise your holy name. Father, it's so good to be here. We just love you. And Father, we thank you for the utterance of the Spirit. Lord, thank you for challenging me every time I get in the pulpit lately. I just welcome the opportunity to follow the Spirit. And so, Lord God, thank you for this word. And I just believe things were spoken tonight. Instructions were given, Father, to help people and to help them understand certain relationships of honor and how we view those older generations. And Father God, we see that there's people in those older generations, they know the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for, you know, not just the Dr. Dufresnes and Pastor Nancy's and Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy Laketics. And of course, Father, we're so incredibly grateful for them, but also the older generations that are right here in our congregation. Father, that they've learned and they know how to pull and draw on the Spirit of God, and they know how to receive the Word, and they know how to worship and praise. Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we are not looking to take a page from the playbook from a generation that doesn't know the Spirit of God. But Father, we want to be honorable. And Father, we see tonight, we see some things in the Word that the first commandment with promise, to honor our parents. Such a simple thing to do is to give them money, just to bestow honor upon them and pay tribute to them. Lord Jesus, you likened it to the money that we give to our church. And Father God, no doubt there's a lot of faithful Christians that tithe and they give offerings, but yet they seldom give to their own natural parents. And Lord, we see that our society is backwards. Our society believes that they should just pamper kids their whole lives and that parents are just a servant to their children forever. But Father, your word tells us that when kids grow up and they get on their own, that the roles should be reversed and parents should be receiving honor and tribute from their kids. That kids should always be looking for a way to bless and to give to their parents. And Father, we thank you that those parents not only represent our natural parents, but they represent spiritual parents. They represent an older generation. And so, Father, we're just taking this tonight as means to honor that generation. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify your holy name. Father, we glorify your holy name. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. Lord, we just magnify your holy, holy name. You are so good, so good, so good. Praise God. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. In a moment here, we're gonna take up an offering. But we're going to do something very radically different. And you're just going to have to trust me that I've heard from God, because I'm telling you right now I have. If you're here tonight and you are if you are 50 years of age and older, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. You know, get rid of that idea. People talk about, like, oh, don't ever tell my age, is a dishonor. Listen, years are good. You know what I mean? People say, oh, I don't want anyone knowing that I'm this certain age. We're not trying to embarrass you tonight. Please understand that I'm following the instructions of the Lord to bestow honor tonight. So I'm not trying to embarrass the 50 and up crowd. I tell you what, that's not something to look down upon. That's something to look up to. That's something to honor and to bless God. But if you're here and if you are 50 years of age or up, could you please stand up, please? We're just going to do something a little different. And could you folks come on down to the front? Hallelujah. Turn the cameras off, everybody, quick. Turn the live stream off. No, keep it running. Praise the Lord. Come on up, folks. Go ahead, stand in front and address this congregation. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, this is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to be taking up an offering. And of course, those of you that are up front, you are still welcome to participate in the offering as we usually do on Wednesday night. But I've received instruction of the Lord that what we're going to do is we're all going to take up an offering. And what we're going to do is we're going to divide it by however many people are up here tonight. And we're going to be giving all of tonight's offering to you. Okay? And so that's what the Lord would have us to do. So could someone here please get a count of heads? Don't forget Brother Tony's back there. I know he's like, oh yeah, I'm definitely older than 50 now. Oh, praise the Lord. So how many do we have? 25? Perfect. All right. Now, folks, before we take up an offering, let's just go ahead and honor these folks. Let's just honor them. Well, I tell you what, we have a lot of folks in our church that are 50 and up that don't look 50 or up. So, I mean, it's just praise the Lord. So, glory to God. Now, what we're going to do is we'll have you folks go ahead and go back to your seats. We're going to participate in the offering. This is what we need to do. We need to keep track of who you are. So, can we real quick just start taking down a list of names? We'll keep you up here for just a few moments. We want to just make sure we get who you are. We don't want you to be missed. Amen. But all of tonight's offerings is going to be divided up 25 ways, and it'll be given to you. We, of course, are believing for a good, sizable amount. But regardless of the amount, please know that it's directed from the Lord and also from this church that we honor what you've done. As far as I look up and I see so many of you, you've raised children. You're faithful in your local church. You're just a tremendous blessing here. So we honor you and we love you. And please know that the younger generations are looking to you still to be an awesome example. Amen. Let's go ahead and honor them. You folks can go ahead and head back to your seats. Praise the Lord. We won't miss you. Glory to God. So I tell you what, this is a good opportunity to give tonight. Praise God. And we're going to give big. Amen. Because we just love and appreciate the generations that are over us. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Brad's getting your name. And if you are up here, you make sure Pastor Brad gets your name. All right, let's go ahead. Let's pray tonight as we give. Father, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify your holy name. Father, you are so good and so wonderful. Father, thank you for these precious parents. Father, for these wonderful examples. Father God, we thank you for this precious older generation that has raised children, that has worked hard. That, Father, we just honor them tonight. And Father, we just give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, as we sow this seed into good ground, we know that harvest is imminent. Father, we thank you. Right now, we are participating in the word that tells us to requite our parents. Well, maybe our parents are here tonight. Maybe they're not naturally. But Father, we thank you for those moms and dads that are in our midst. Father, we thank you for them. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. If you did make out any checks, of course, just like you normally do, make them out to Family Church. And then what we're going to do is we'll get that total. And, of course, we have all of your information here at the church, no doubt. All of you are so faithful, and we know who you are. We know where you live. So what we'll do is we'll slip a check in the mail to you. That'll be heading your way here just a couple days. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to give to the older generations. Amen. Glory to God. Well, folks, we are going to stay for a time of prayer here tonight. We're going to take a short transition. If you need a drink, need to use a restroom, of course, feel free to do that. We're going to jump right into prayer here. If you have children in the nursery, please go ahead and get them. I understand if there's some of you here that have to get children home right away. Praise God, we understand that. But if you can stay for prayer, be sure that you do stay for prayer. Amen. We'll go ahead and dismiss and transition right there.